Hey, it's Mike Salk here. I want to thank you for listening to the Brock and Salk podcast. This episode is brought to you by Famous Dave's. That's America's favorite barbecue. To find a Famous Dave's near you, go to famousdaves.com.
Get in the freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Heward and Marcus. Sorry about just Mike.
On Seattle Sports.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
You were not exactly Joe Cap there in the pocket.
Presented by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Saul.
All right, no Brock today. He'll be back tomorrow. Brady Henderson filling in from ESPN.com. And actually, we're going to stay in the ESPN family here and talk to Tisha Thompson, who's an investigative reporter with the network. And she's been on this Shohei Ohtani interpreter story. And it is a crazy one. Tisha, first of all, people should know, ridiculous resume. Oh, my gosh. Fifth generation reporter and was a big part of what's gone on in the investigation into the Washington Commanders franchise. So, Tisha, thanks for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you. It's the family business, I guess you could say,
being seriously.
A journalist. We've been doing it since there's been a Thompson byline. My understanding is, if you believe family legend, Thompsons have had a byline since the 1880s continuously.
Wow. I would only imagine.
Isn't that bonkers?
That is kind of crazy. Yeah. I'd love to know what they were covering then. I guess it was not quite this, because this is just a crazy story. What do we know?
Well, we have a lot going on. I think for folks who are just catching up, there was a series of events that happened between Tuesday night into Wednesday midday, where a lot suddenly started to change. I think it's easy to say that it really for us began this week when, based on multiple sources and bank documents that I had seen, we were reaching out to Ohtani's spokesperson to ask why there was a bank account with Shohei Ohtani's name on it that was sending wire transfers to a Southern California bookmaker, and an operation, I should say, run by a Southern California bookmaker. And that bookmaker and the operation around it, according to multiple sources, is currently under investigation by federal authorities in California. And so we wanted to understand, why is Ohtani's name on these wire transfers? I saw some of them. We had multiple sourcing telling us that at least $4.5 million had been sent from that bank account. So through a series of events that happened, and I'm going to cut to the chase. I get on the phone with Ipe Mitsuhara. He is Ohtani's longtime interpreter. And people characterize him as Ohtani's closest friend, that they have a bond as close as brothers, and that they there's a story out there from some years ago that says that Mitsuhara spent more time with Ohtani than he did with his own wife. So these are two men that were very, very close to each other. And so he and I get on the phone, and I spend about 90 minutes on the phone with him. This was late Tuesday night. It was a couple of hours before the season opener between the Dodgers and the Padres, which was taking place in South Korea. So for Mitsuhara, it was the morning time in South Korea. It was a couple of hours before the game. And he tells me in that first, and it's important that people understand, this is what he first tells me. He tells me that they are his gaming debts, that he got in over his head, that he went, this is what he first says, that he went to Ohtani and asked him to pay off the debts. Ohtani wasn't happy about it, but eventually offers to pay them. And following instructions that Mitsuhara had received and then relayed to Ohtani, logged into his computer and made the wire transfer payments. We're in the final stages of putting our story together Wednesday morning, midday, and we get a statement through Ohtani's spokesperson from Ohtani's attorneys saying that there has been a massive theft, and that they are turning it over to authorities. And we then, start making a bunch of phone calls to try to understand what has just happened. And of course, I call Mitsuhara, and he tells, and I say, Ipe, did you lie to me last night? And he says, yes. And he, through a series of questions and answers, tells me that Ohtani did not, this is the second conversation with Mitsuhara, he says he did not tell Ohtani about the gaming debts and that Ohtani did not make the payments.
That is a crazy story. I got to tell you. I mean, like, it reads crazy, but hearing you describe, you know, the timeline of it makes it sound even more bizarre. So it kind of leads me to two quick follow-ups that I have to ask.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah, of course.
What does Ipe make? $150,000 a year? I mean, he doesn't make millions of dollars a year,
you know,
right?
So that's a really interesting question. We had sourcing that was, you know, putting an interpreter's pay. Initially we were hearing, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars.
Okay.
I've had some of my colleagues here, you know, that some interpreters make 85-ish thousand dollars.
All right, but it's not enough money to get a $4.5 million credit line.
Well, you know, I think it's hard for you and me to speculate on that because we don't operate bookmaking operations. At least I don't.
I don't either, for the
record. So, you know, I can only work on what I've been told.
Okay.
And the one thing that has not been clawed back, or I should say the one thing, but, you know, one of the things that has not been clawed back between the two interviews with Mitsuhara is that he was extended credit. This is what he told me. He was extended credit by the bookmaker that sources say is under investigation, and he never had to put any money up front, and he was allowed to continue to gamble.
Must have been a heck of a credit line that he was extended, which is pretty impressive. I guess the other question then becomes the dates on the transfers. How do those match up with either of his two stories, or do we not know enough yet?
Well, no. Thus far, let me just say this is an evolving story.
Right.
Right. Mitsuhara did not spend as much time on the phone with me the second time we talked. It was a fairly short conversation. And was not giving me a lot of details. But so far, no one is debating that it was Mitsuhara who was placing the bets. Tell me what you really want me to get at here, because there's no debate over whether he was making the bets at this juncture, if that makes any sense.
Yes. No, I think I'm not sure what I was getting at other than trying to, as you were talking, I was thinking, oh, I wonder if the dates back up the fact that Shohei came in later and said, hey, I want to cover this for you. Did the dates back that up?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Forgive me. I have so much information in my brain right now. So what he is not debating and what I don't have any reason to believe has changed at this point is that the betting, according to Mitsuhara's first interview, began in 2021 after he meets this bookmaker at a poker game in San Diego at a hotel after they had played the Padres. And he begins placing the bets in 2021. Through 2022, he gets increasingly in over his head. He calls himself a terrible gambler. He is now beginning to really get in trouble by 2023 in his first version of the story, which he then recanted. He goes to Ohtani in 2023. However, the payments, according to my sourcing, that come out of the account that has the name Shohei Ohtani on it, were being made in 2023, and that jives with what Mitsuhara told me in that first interview. He was vague on dates, but I saw a wire transfer from September, and I saw a wire transfer from October.
Tisha,
I've been told there's more than what I saw.
Pardon me. Yeah, Tisha, what have you learned about the guy running the bookmaking operation and any sort of contact that he may or may not have had with Ohtani directly, or does it sound like that was all with Mizuhara?
Okay, thank you for that, because I think it's really, really important that the lawyer representing the bookmaker says that the bookmaker never spoke or had contact with Ohtani. I've been told from multiple sources that the bookmaker only dealt with Mitsuhara.
So I've never made a lot of major wire transfers in my life. I don't roll quite that deep, but I've got friends who occasionally make wire transfers. And my understanding is you got to approve them verbally, right? Like they go through a bunch of different checks when you make a wire transfer. It's not just that you have to have the account and the routing number and all that, because obviously it's plausible that Ohtani could have given that to his interpreter. But how much do you know about just the way wire transfers are approved?
I'm not a banker. That is one of so here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to speculate
for sure
about what did and didn't happen. There are two people who you would think would know, and that's Ohtani and Mitsuhara. I will be interested to see if there are more people that begin to ask questions about that. As Ohtani's lawyers said to us yesterday and have said to many people now through media outlets, that there are allegations of massive theft, to use their words, and that they're sending it to the authorities. So those are the questions that we're trying to figure out ourselves.
Tisha, last question for me. I'm just curious, what has been the MLB's response so far, if any?
So there's not a ton of precedent for this, unlike, you know, say doping or drug use, where, you know, there's it's a pretty cut and dry. This is what happens if you get caught with MLB. There's just not a lot of precedent for this. Obviously, everybody always talks about Pete Rose, but in this modern era of sports betting, there are rules. And my understanding of the rules, based on what a variety of people have told us, is, and you can look up what the rules are as well, is that you may not, if you're an athlete with MLB, you may not use a bookmaker. You cannot do that. You can't use a bookie. You may never bet on baseball. I mean, Pete Rose, right? Do not bet on baseball. But beyond baseball, if bookmaking is legal, my understanding is that athletes can do that. You can't use a bookie. You can't bet on baseball, but you can bet because it's now legal in sports bet, I should say. So we are very curious to know what's going to happen here. Mitsuhara got fired, like, instantly. I mean, it was fast. I think I got the statement, and he'd been fired within just a couple of hours from getting the statement. There's also, you know, questions about what's happening with the federal investigation. And my understanding, based on the sourcing we have right now, is that MLB is closely following what the feds are doing and maybe taking their cues from what develops with the federal investigation. They want to know what the feds have, I suspect, is what's going on.
So let me ask you this final question. I know you got to run, and we do as well, and we really appreciate it. Just awesome work, and glad to make your acquaintance here on the air. I wish we'd I'm sorry, it comes under these sort of weird circumstances, but
it's all right. It's what I do. I tend to meet people when, you know, there's news like this.
I love it. What questions are you going to be asking next? Like, what information would you like to know?
Yeah. Right now, I'm really trying to figure out, you know, when I'm not talking to you guys, what I'm trying to do is figure out which authorities have been contacted. We have a source close to what's going on. With knowledge, who told me yesterday when all of this was breaking that it's complicated because so many of the people that, you know, would be part of all of this are currently in South Korea. You know, the Padres and the Dodgers just played their second game this morning if you're on Eastern time. And that game just concluded, like an hour or two ago. Mm-hmm. So you've got the Dodgers organization there. You've got a lot of people, I shouldn't say a lot of people, but you have people who are Ohtani's camp, you know, the people that support him. I mean, he is a major league star. So he's got people. And then you have Ohtani and Mitsuhara, both also still in South Korea. So we're trying to figure that out. We're obviously following the federal investigation. It's important to mention the bookmaker has not been charged with anything that we are aware of at this point. We were told yesterday that neither Ohtani nor Mitsuhara have been asked any questions by federal authorities. So I just want to make sure that's all clear out there, that this investigation, we want to know what's going on, I think, as much as anybody.
Crazy. What a story. Thank you so much. Let's stay in touch because as this story develops, something tells me there may be more to this story that will come out here over the course of the next few
weeks. I think I'll be reporting on this for a while.
Yeah, this is like the type of thing that, it's pretty awesome. Good for you. We appreciate it. Let's talk again. Thank you so much, Tisha.
Thank you for having me.
All right,
yeah,
there you go.
Thank you for having me.
There's Tisha Thompson from ESPN. She's the investigative reporter who broke this story and pretty interesting. Now, I get it. She can't speculate,
right.
And I'm sure there's a lot of legal ramifications for her and ESPN, and you got to be very careful about everything she says. But wow, I mean, like, it's a weird story, man.
Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah, and she sort of spelled out why this is a big issue here. One of the reasons being that this type of operation is not legal, at least in California. Mm-hmm. The other issue, and again, she didn't want to speculate on this part, but I think it's fair to do this, is anybody who looks at this might wonder, okay, even though the interpreter said there was no betting on baseball, which is the cardinal sin in mm-hmm. baseball, could that have possibly have been going on?
Because by his own admission, he's lied.
Right.
Right? Or he lied either in his first interview or his second.
Right.
We don't know which one.
He told Tisha Thompson that he lied to her over the phone
right.
a day after speaking with her.
So either he lied about the fact that he did it all himself, or he lied about the fact the second time that he didn't and that he stole the money. One of those two conversations was a lie. We just don't know which one. If he's lying about that, what else is he lying about? And yeah, I think if that to me... When I asked her, what do you want to find out next? That to me is the one. Which is he lying about? And why? Which time did he lie? And why is he lying? That to me is like exactly how you start to unravel this. And, you know, she's the investigative journalist and tells me she'll do a better job than I do. But I just, that's what would be very interesting to me.
I knew that he had changed his story, but finding out that he had changed it within that short of a time frame.
Yeah.
Was
said,
kind of shocking.
Yes, I lied.
Yeah.
I mean, he told her he lied to her.
Yeah.
To her face. That is crazy. This story is, I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot more to this. And again, the wire transfer stuff is sketchy too. Is it possible that he had full access to Shohei's bank account and therefore was, you know, on the dotted line allowed to make wire transfers in his name? I guess it's possible.
We did get a text about that.
It's possible. But man, if Shohei allowed somebody the ability to make wire transfers in his own name, then he is deeper into this than, like, that's not something he would have done just to cover for him at the end.
Well, and if this
hey,
is
you totally
you're...
screwed up gambling. You work for me. You've got a $4.5 million debt. Let me write you the ability. Nobody does that.
Well, that's the thing. If you're close enough that you're saying you're like brothers,
yeah.
you don't have any idea that he might have a gambling problem. I would think right. you wouldn't allow that person access to your account.
I would think,
or around you.
All good questions.
No, in the story, it did say that Ohtani decided to allegedly pay the debt himself as mm-hmm. opposed to giving the guy the money because he didn't trust him that he might go
that's true.
He might go gamble it away.
Which makes sense. But again, yeah. that feels like something you would have known for a long time.
Yes.
And if you're Shohei Ohtani and now you need to pay off this guy's $4.5 million gambling debt, Shohei's not an idiot, right? By all accounts. So how did he not think that a wire transfer of all things with all of the like the record
with his name on it,
with his name on it to a bookie wasn't going to become a thing. So if you're Shohei Ohtani, I'm going to try to put myself in that situation. We're blown out. Need to know. I'm sorry. Here's what you need to know is this story's nuts. If I'm Shohei Ohtani and Brady works for me as you know, you should. And you've got a major gambling problem and I need to now go pay it off. And I realize that I can't give you the money and I've got to go pay the bookie directly.
Because you can't
and
trust me with the money.
I don't trust you. You're such a scumbag. I can't trust you with the money. So now I need to pay the bookie directly. You know what the first call I'm going to make is to?
An attorney?
Major League Baseball.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yes, you're right. First to an attorney and then to Major League Baseball.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm going to call my attorney and say, hey, what am I going to, I'm going to pay this off, but I want to make sure that I'm as protected as possible. And then I'm going to call baseball and I'm going to say, hey, this doesn't look good. My interpreter is in big trouble. He is a major problem. I'm going to fire him and he's going to check himself into Gamblers Anonymous or whatever it is, but I'm willing to pay his debt. I want you to understand and I want to be a completely open book.
Yeah, you
can bet on anything here.
You can make that public and make it like, hey, I'm being the good guy. I'm trying to help my friend, but you would want that documented.
Let me just ask you, which is more likely? That he did everything he did, which all runs contrary to the logic of how you would deal with a friend who you need to give money to in this situation, or that either this guy really did steal the money from him, or that Shohei was the one doing the betting. It's almost impossible for me to look at this situation and say that the initial story is the right one. It has to be either theft, not has to be. It just seems drastically more likely that it is either theft, that this guy conned him, and he has been steadily stealing money to pay off this gambling. By the way, how the heck did he get that line of credit with his $85,000 to $150,000 a year
salary?
Well,
if the guy knew that he was connected to Ohtani, maybe he figured like there's some deep pockets backing him.
And no matter what, I mean, he's going to get his money. But the timing was September and October with the wire transfers, yeah?
Yeah.
Is that not at the pinnacle of this point of, hey, you're about to sign the biggest contract in sports history?
Yes.
So if you're Ohtani, is that the time for you to go to Major League Baseball?
Maybe.
It should have been. I agree.
You have to. Otherwise, this is going to end up coming back to you.
The angel and devil on the shoulders there are really, really hard to decide.
I don't know. I think you do. And so my gut tells me either this guy has been stealing money in an absolute con, which is possible, right? Hey, he's so close to him, he gets all the access to his bank accounts. Or he's placing the bets for Shohei.
You given anybody access to your bank account?
My wife.
Okay, aside from your wife.
No.
That's kind of hard to believe.
I don't know that
too.
I could come up with a scenario in which I would. No.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing that's hard to believe. Now you're talking about giving Shohei the benefit of the doubt to where he's not some chump who is just going to get duped. But if he really was making these bets, don't you think he would be smart enough to cover his tracks and not send the wire transfer with his name on it?
I don't know. I don't know what happens at that point. No. I don't know. I don't know how all of this works. I just don't know.
There's another
good
part
question.
And I'm sure people are thinking this, and I'm sure we've gotten texts about it, but the text line is blown up. Usually when you're covering for somebody in any way, why would you do that? Because you maybe don't want something else coming out about you, right?
Yes.
Is that possible?
Sure.
So is there anything the interpreter may have on Shohei that he was like, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and cover these for you?
I mean, certainly if they've been spending more time together than the guy does with his wife, then yeah. I mean,
probably
like he could have all sorts of things on him. Who knows?
Things.
Or maybe it's the other way around. Or maybe there's a lot more than gambling that's a part of it. If they're unsavory characters, who knows what other unsavory activities were going on around them. So, man, I don't have any idea how big this thing could get, but I'm fascinated by the story.
Right,
I'm continuing to watch it. And
tip of the iceberg.
And generally, while we don't always know who's got sketchy stuff around them, generally in the game they do. And I do wonder if there was any rumblings about this. Hey, before you sign him to a $700 million deal, you should know that maybe there's a little bit of, right, a little whispers in the background. I don't know. There weren't that many teams when it was all said and done that were truly interested in Shohei, and maybe that's just because none of them could afford it. Maybe it's because there were some rumblings. Who the heck knows? Brady, what a fascinating story. We had to blow out Need to Know for it. We're going to come back, though, and talk a ton of football for the next half hour before you got to get out of here. It's Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.
Massive, the power of pop culture, is Seattle's Museum of Pop Culture's newest exhibition, featuring iconic artifacts from artists Beyonce, Nirvana, and more. All throughout May, Washington residents receive special discounts on tickets and memberships. Tickets at mopop.org/maycation.
All right, listen up, Tacoma. It's Mike Salk here. Yes, thank you for listening. And also want to let you know that America's favorite barbecue
is back. Famous Days Barbecue at Tacoma Place is reopening on Thursday, April 18th. Join the welcome back party, which starts at 11 a.m. with Famous Dave Anderson himself. Famous Dave is going to be there? Oh, my gosh. Photo ops, giveaways, and, of course, the classic queue. You know it. Digging into smoking starters like the traditional wings and handhelds like the Georgia chopped pork sandwich. Or maybe feed more or less with the all-American feast, a full slab of ribs, a whole country roast chicken, choice of Texas beef brisket, or the Georgia chopped pork, plus the creamy coleslaw, the famous fries, the Wilbur beans, the sweet corn, the cornbread muffins, the whole deal. It is served family style for 4 to 6 people. All right, come get that barbecue fix and meet Famous Dave, 1901 South 72nd Street in Tacoma. It starts April 18th at 11 a.m. And of course, they're still in Tukwila off South Center Parkway as well. Just go to famousdaves.com to learn more. That's famousdaves.com.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Cantor Diamond is the only professional office for diamonds and diamond jewelry. Meet us in our professional Tacoma offices by appointment or globally by phone, email, Instagram at K-A-N-T-O-R Diamond. Truly the best diamond prices, bestdiamondprice.com.
The Mariners Kids Club is 100% free and a great way to get your kids excited for a lifetime of Mariners baseball. Sign up online and your youngster will receive a Kids Club hat, access to early gate opportunities, discounts, and more. Go to mariners.com/kidsclub to join.
This is Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Weekdays 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
Brady, that's a really good point you just made in the break as we just kind of wrap up this Shohei Ohtani interpreter story and then move on to some football. If you are the interpreter and you're getting into worse and worse trouble and that debt continues to grow, how are you going to get out of it?
Well, I would think that the one way you would do everything you can to tilt the gambling odds in your favor and with information, and the one, you know, your best access to information that would help you is through Ohtani. And he might be the one guy who could affect the outcome of a baseball game more than pretty much any other player.
Maybe in history.
Yeah.
With his ability to both pitch and hit and everything else. So, yeah, this story is a long way from over, but we'll keep following it. And I'm certainly interested in it. Now all these, you know, Shohei and the rest of these guys are all going to return home from South Korea, where they've been here for the last week. By the way, Ipe's been fired, right? So he was fired while he was in South Korea by the Dodgers.
Yes.
He's in all kinds of debt, presumably. How's he going to get home?
This is like what college football coach got fired at the airport? Was it Lane Kiffin?
I think it was Lane Kiffin. Not to be confused with when...
Nick Holt?
No, well, I was going to say last year when Urban Meyer didn't get on the plane with his team so that he could spend the day trying to, like, you know, feel up co-eds at the local bar. Well, he was supposed to be babysitting his grandkids. Like, what an unbelievable story that was. Yeah. How's he going to get home? And if are you sure he wants to come home? I wonder if this guy ever shows up in the United States again. Like, yeah, I'm just going to stay in South Korea.
That's not a cheap flight, especially when you're $4.5 million in debt.
Well, and when you've got to buy it day of.
Yeah, day of.
What a crazy story, because there's no way the Dodgers are letting him on the team plane home. He's toxic. He's radioactive.
Yeah.
Can't let him on the plane ride home. Man, what a crazy, crazy story. So, all right, that's what's going on in that world. Of course, opening day here is right around the corner, and we do want to send you guys to the game one, you and three friends. All you got to do, open the Seattle Sports app, click the win tab, find out how. If you don't already have the app, which is kind of lame, you should have the app, but if you don't, simply text app, APP, to 866-979-3776, and we'll just send you a link to download it right now. So don't miss out on your chance to join the fun on opening day. The contest runs through Sunday, March 24th. All right, Brady, let's talk some Seahawks football. We have the better part of this half hour here to do so. And I just a ton of questions for you because we haven't really had you on since they've made most of these moves. Let's talk Sam Howell. We've hardly mentioned his name today. I heard a couple of really good questions. In fact, you were involved with a debate with Bob the other day. Should there be a quarterback competition? The Seahawks are saying, no, there's not one. This is still Geno's job. Okay, I believe them for now. Should there be a quarterback competition, though? Sam Howell is younger. He's got upside. Should he be given more than just backup reps?
I think the Seahawks, once they did not trade Geno Smith, and look, I don't think that window has entirely closed, but the most realistic window for that to happen would have been before free agency, before these other teams started filling their quarterback holes. And by the way, the other teams that still need quarterbacks are positioned early in the draft to take one. And so I think once that most realistic window to trade him closed, I think they look at this and they say, look, he's not going to be the backup. If he's already on this contract, he's going to make $22.5 million a year. He's not going to be the backup because that is just such a horrible value, right? When you're paying your backup quarterback $22.5 million. And so I think they basically decided that he's either going to be traded or he's going to be the starter. Mm-hmm. Now, what they should or should not do, you know, in terms of could Howell potentially be a better option this season, I don't know. I mean, just look at both of those guys last year. You know, one of them ranked 14th in the NFL in total QBR and what was considered a down year for him. That's Geno Smith. The other guy was 24th. I think with Howell, the appeal is more about the long term, right? And could he be, if Geno Smith fails to take that step forward this year, next year he's got this $38.5 million cap hit. He's probably not going to be on the team next year unless he takes a big step forward. Now you have Howell, a guy who's 23 years old, who's got 2 years and only $2 million left on his contract. He then becomes sort of what Drew Lock was for them, a younger, cheaper Drew Lock, right? Where he's a backup, a really good backup quarterback with the potential to develop into a starter.
Does he have more upside than Drew Lock?
I think the fact that he's 4 years younger, I think he's got as much, if not more. Yeah, yeah. And look, he is, you know, the Seahawks wanted to re-sign Drew Lock, so let's not think that Sam Howell is automatically some better option than Lock. But he is younger and he is quite a bit cheaper, and I think this is a more sustainable model as opposed to continually re-signing Lock to these 1 year, $4, $5, $6 million deals in the hope that he eventually gets that opportunity and shows you he's that guy. With Howell, you've got 2 years to figure that out, and he's 4 years younger and a lot cheaper.
If the Seahawks are not, you know, right at the very top of the division this year, do you need to find out what you have at some point in Howell?
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, no, I could totally see that. And I don't think they would go into this season with an open competition, but if Geno falters and your season is going nowhere and you want to get an early look at that trial run in 2025, then yeah, absolutely.
So there does come a time where you say, you know, hey, we gotta see what this guy has. It's interesting. We haven't really seen that for Geno yet, where there's somebody kind of looking over his shoulder. Drew Lock was, in theory, not really year one, I guess a little bit at the end of last year because Drew would come in and play decently, but you know, knowing that they traded for a young guy with a couple years who could have some significant future value, that's got to be a bit of a wake-up call, no?
Yeah, and again, it goes back to the idea of one of the main reasons, in my opinion at least, that this whole conversation about Geno Smith's immediate and long-term future exists. There's part of it is that there was a dip in production last year. The other part of it is he's, you know, a plus 30-year-old quarterback with a fairly you know, without a lot of guarantees in his contract that would really lock him onto the roster. The third part of it, again, is the idea that Pete Carroll was probably his biggest supporter in the building. And by the way, the guy who had final say in personnel decisions, and Pete Carroll's no longer there. And so I think there is less of a commitment to Geno Smith than there was. And so, yeah, if you get to a situation where you're in December and you're going nowhere, you're not going to win the division, then I could totally see the new-ish regime saying, let's take a look at Howell. Let's get a head start on that trial run.
Does Sam Howell's trade, the trade for Sam Howell, assuming Geno's not traded, does that ensure that the Seahawks are not going to take a quarterback in the first couple rounds of this draft?
I think it rules out the idea, and this is going to crush your dreams, and
no,
maybe
I
they've already been crushed, but I think it rules out the idea of trading up you know, into the top 10. So bypassing, you know, Minnesota, which obviously needs a quarterback. There's another quarterback needy team in there. Denver, exactly, who's right by Minnesota in the draft order. Yeah, I think it was already hard enough without a second round pick. Now you've traded one of your two third round picks for Howell. I just don't see them having enough ammunition to move up, because keep in mind, if one of those teams knows that you're moving up, they're competing, then that offer, you know, you need to give up even more.
It made me wonder if actually the order of operations was opposite. Not that this means they're not going to trade up, but the fact that they couldn't trade up necessitated this trade, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
If John's been trying to figure out, okay, what does it cost? If I do really want to trade up for one of these guys, what am I going to need to do? And if he was basically, you know, under the impression, look, you're going to have to get up to 4 or 5 in order to make it happen, and you just don't have the capital to do it, so sorry, good luck. He then has to pivot and say, all right, maybe I better go find a quarterback somewhere else.
Yeah, and what have we heard about this draft that, you know, it's pretty good at the top, but, you know, in that kind of late second to third round, that's kind of a dead zone, right? And you either want to be taking a guy in the top 10, or you're probably looking at a guy who's a, you know, mid-round developmental guy as
from
opposed
the quarterback
to
spot.
Yeah, yeah. Who's as opposed to somebody who you feel like is really going to come in and compete for a job right away.
Last Howell question, then we're going to take a quick break and then come back here for a little bit more Seahawks conversation. But if you had your choice, would you have done the Sam Howell deal, including what you gave up, or the Justin Fields deal for a 6th-round pick?
Yeah, that was one that Bob and I got into the other day. I think it's... I look at it two ways. One is, who would give you the best chance, right? Who's a better backup for 2024? Who gives you the best chance to step in and win a game? I think it's Howell. And I would easily say Howell. The other part of that is, you're not just acquiring this quarterback to be the backup in 2024. You're getting a guy who you think has long-term upside to develop into a starter. I kind of wonder if Fields may have more of that upside just because of the athleticism. And I also just, I've seen too many examples of quarterbacks who their careers either started off slowly or they hit a rough patch and then they really, you know, bounce back. Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff, Geno Smith himself even. I'm not ready to write off Justin Fields quite yet.
The third round pick still really hurts too. I know that you get back a fourth. It's not like you just gave up the third, but man, the package for Justin Fields would have been a whole lot more palatable.
Only 1 year on the contract.
I know, but gosh, what they gave up would have been a whole lot more palatable. All right. Let's see. You should know Wazoo Drake tonight, first round of the NCAA tournament. That's 7 o'clock here on Seattle Sports. You can hear the Mariners face the Reds live at 6:30. That'll be on our sister station, 770 KTTH. As always, both games will air live in their entirety on the Seattle Sports app, which you should download, right? All you got to do is text the word app, APP, to 866-979-3776. More with Brady next on Brock and Salk.
Massive, the power of pop culture is Seattle's Museum of Pop Culture's newest exhibition featuring iconic artifacts from Batman, Star Wars, Barbie, and more. All throughout May, Washington residents receive special discounts on tickets and memberships. Tickets at mopop.org/macation.
Cantor Diamond, 4 generations of professionalism, quality, and low prices. Let us earn your business and we'll make you our top priority. By appointment only in Tacoma or globally by phone or email, cantordiamond.com or on Instagram at KANTOR Diamond.
All right, listen up, Tacoma. It's Mike Salk here. Yes, thank you for listening. And also want to let you know that America's favorite barbecue is back. Famous Days Barbecue at Tacoma Place is reopening on Thursday, April 18th. Join the welcome back party, which starts at 11 a.m. with Famous Dave Anderson himself. Famous Dave is going to be there? Oh my gosh. Photo ops, giveaways, and of course, the classic queue. You know it. Digging into smoking starters like the traditional wings and handhelds like the Georgia chopped pork sandwich. Or maybe feed more or less with the all-American feast. A full slab of ribs, a whole country roast chicken, choice of Texas beef brisket, or the Georgia chopped pork, plus the creamy coleslaw, the famous fries, the Wilbur beans, the sweet corn, the cornbread muffins, the whole deal. It is served family style for 4 to 6 people. All right, come get that barbecue fix and meet Famous Dave, 1901 South 72nd Street in Tacoma. It starts April 18th at 11 a.m. And of course, they're still in Tukwila off South Center Parkway as well. Just go to famousdaves.com to learn more. That's famousdaves.com.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Spring is here, and now is a great time to visit the incredible new showroom at Toyota of Kirkland. Right now, Toyota of Kirkland has over 400 new Toyotas in stock and on the way, including Camrys, RAV4s, Tacomas, Highlanders, 4Runners, and Tundras. Test drive one today and drive it home immediately. Let the team at Toyota of Kirkland take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Toyota of Kirkland will exceed your expectations in every way. Visit them today or shop online at toyotaofkirkland.com.
This is Brock and Saul.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Weekdays 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports App.
All right, Brady Henderson here for just a couple more minutes. And then, we have a lot to get to here in the 9 o'clock hour as well. Shannon Dreher will join us for some actual baseball conversation. It's not all fun and games and gambling debts. We have to have some real baseball talk today as well. We'll do that at 9:30 with Shannon, leading into a real ranked Mora. You will be disappointed with today, but Justin and I are ready for it. It should be a
We actually had
one.
People texting yesterday when Brock was ranking the candidates for the UW-AGD job that they wanted a quote-unquote real ranked.
Yeah, they were disappointed with that. They didn't like the whole
what
thing.
What is the rank, or do you not reveal it?
We don't reveal it, okay. Brady. We can't reveal our sources. We don't allow any speculation. We don't get sued before 9:45, so I try to keep that a closely guarded secret.
Okay.
Sort of like my bank account information and any wire transfers that I might be making from my account. I don't let anybody know what that is.
You got to use an alias for that.
That's right. Any more than I would let. Now, that would make this story
great. Use Brock
great.
Heward as your alias.
When are we going to get a Ron Mexico-style alias name to come out of this whole thing? It seems like only a matter of time before something like that happens. We spent a few minutes, Brady, talking about the quarterback situation there. Let's bump to the other side of the ball. Yep. I know you've talked a lot about the linebackers and how that should be, you know, younger, faster, cheaper, allow them to be a little bit better in pass coverage, et cetera. How are you feeling about sort of the defensive line edge rusher spot, which was such a strength for the Ravens over the years?
Yeah, so in terms of the interior defensive line, I think they've got their top four guys now. And again, Jonathan Hankins was something that they didn't really have there in terms of a big-bodied nose tackle. When I say don't really have there, I know they've got some guys, you know, on the bottom of the depth chart who are big bodies, but I'm talking about guys who you know are guaranteed to really be a factor in that rotation. So Mario Edwards, I see Jonathan Hankins basically sliding into the Mario Edwards role as that fourth guy in the rotation. Now, the big difference between those two guys is
the first three being Leonard Williams,
Jaron Reed, and Draymond Jones.
Yeah. Now, who now will play back more inside?
Well, I don't know. I think we could see Draymond Jones playing some on the edge. I think they will tell you that part of the reason why the production wasn't really there, at least in the first half of the season, was that he wasn't used properly. Then when Leonard Williams got here, you started seeing him play a little bit more on the edge. So I still could see some of that. There's just so much we don't know about what that defensive line is going to look like. One thing we do know is that in Baltimore, McDonald had two very large defensive tackles there, Michael Pierce and Travis Jones, I think was the other guy's name, both well over 330 pounds. Again, the Seahawks didn't really have that body type in terms of the top of the rotation defensive linemen. They're all around 300 pounds. And Mario Edwards, who I think Jonathan Hankins is basically replacing in that rotation, he's built more like a 4-3 defensive end at 280 pounds, which is roughly around what Dre Jones weighs. And again, Jaron Reed and Leonard Williams are both around 300. And so Jonathan Hankins gives them some beef that they didn't really have in the middle of that defensive
line. So you're starting to get a sense of what this defense will look like?
Well, personnel-wise, yeah. I mean, because I think they could fill out a starting lineup right now. And it, you know, maybe a two deep in some spots. I still think they need more help at inside linebacker, considering there's really no depth, no proven depth, I should say, behind Tyrell Dodson and Jerome Baker. But we sort of could fill out a starting lineup right now in terms of the players we know the Seahawks are going to have there. I still think that stylistically, I don't know exactly what that's going to look like because we don't know how much they're going to change from what they – from what McDonald ran in Baltimore.
If the season started today, which unit is better, their offense or their defense?
Their defense, yeah. Because, if the season started today, they'd be relying on Anthony Bradford and God knows who at guard. And, you know, the center position I don't think has been upgraded yet. I view Nick Harris as basically he's kind of the same signing as Evan Brown was a year ago, where, you know, a veteran guy who's got some experience at guard and who is, you know, just a you know, a solid starter at mm-hmm. best. And so I think with the offensive line question marks right now and the fact that there really has not been that solid, surefire upgrade in the interior, I like what they did with George Fant. I think he's probably the best guy they could have gotten to
That's
fill
what you
that
were talking about,
role.
Right? That fifth. So I was thinking about him and you actually when they made that signing because I was asking you just the day earlier, hey, what about Abe Lucas? Can you count on Abe Lucas? And your thinking was, well, you could play him, but you better have a pretty good swing tackle. And isn't that exactly what George Fant is?
He is. He's probably the best guy they could have gotten for that role, meaning some guy who is not in a position to where he would demand to start at tackle. I mean, he's 32 years old. He had a pretty good year last year for Houston, and we haven't seen, again, the full details of that contract, but it seems like in terms of a base pay, they're giving him $4, maybe $5 million per year, which is that's a decent amount of money for a guy who was not slated to be a starter. Now, mm-hmm. I know there's been some speculation about, are they signing him to be the starter, him being Fant, with the plan to move Lucas to guard? I don't think that's happening. I think what this reflects is the fact that they know Lucas is coming off a knee injury that Pete Carroll at one point described as chronic. It required surgery, and they are making sure that they have a much better backup plan than they had last year.
Draft is, just over a month away. Do the Seahawks, last question for you, then we got to run. Did the Seahawks draft at number 16, trade up, or trade back?
I think they trade back and they go offense early and often in the draft. And I would not be surprised one bit if they end up taking a guard with their first pick. And I know that would not be the most exciting, but it would
probably be the best thing they could do.
The best thing they could do.
That's for sure. Brady, fun couple hours. Thanks for coming in on a wild day. Wild, wild Thursday today.
I showed up early for you. I didn't want to stress you out like I do when we play golf and I walk up to the tee time.
Brady's usually texting. He's like, can you sign in for me? I'll Venmo you the money. Just pay for me to save a couple of minutes and I'll bring a coffee. Like, Brady, don't stop for coffee. Just come to the course so that we can get out. I'll meet you on 2, maybe on 3.
I've never done that, but I do typically get to the tee box around 2 minutes before
tucking in your shirt.
Yeah, before the tee time. The way I see it is, I'm right on time. The tee time is 8:51. I shoved to the tee box at 8:51. I'm not late. What are you talking about?
Brady's got to go. We'll come right back. Shannon Dreher is going to join me in a half hour to talk some actual baseball. In the meantime, this story is as big as it gets, potentially, depending on what happens next. It's Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710. We'll tell you more about it next.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.